Okay, so two of my favorite people in Manitech, presidentials that are my friends, recommended I read this book. And so over the weekend, I read the book, and I should say, I promise you guys, it was Sunday night. I had a Bible study Sunday night. I got home at 7 o'clock, read the book and outlined it, and went to bed quite late. Anyway, so a little groggy this morning. But it's a great book. I highly recommend it. It's called The Five Levels of Formality. It's written by Danny Rich and Paul Robinson. Obviously, gentlemen that have a lot of background in network marketing. So you're hearing from some, you know, serious, experienced networkers. And it gave me some insights that I didn't have before. So I really, and whenever I find a book that really, you know, opens my eyes to things, which happens a lot, no matter how well-read I think I am, there's always something more to learn. That should be a lesson for all of us, because that's how we grow, and we push ourselves out, and we accomplish better results. Because if you know, I try to get this grilled in people, but some people just don't like, they look at me and they go, well, I don't like to read, Mary Jo. And I said, well, then get tapes and listen, but spend every day of your life growing yourself. Make a dedication to learn something new every day of your life. And if it's time to go to bed and you haven't learned something new, pick up a book and find something new to learn that day. Because that's all we are. We absorb things, and that's the way we grow. Because if we don't learn new things, if we don't do things differently, guess what? We're going to keep creating the same results. And most of us, including some of us that have been highly successful in Manitech, I don't personally want to keep creating the same results. I want to create better results. Because if I can create better results from a leadership perspective, I can help so many other people do the same thing. So anyway, so that's just my pitch for, you know, readers are the ones that grow, and that's what you want to do. So this is a great book. It's a short book, so anyone can read it quickly. And it really talks about how a lot of us are doing network marketing wrong right out of the box. And I clearly fit in that category based on what they taught me in this book. So it's going to give me, and giving me new insight, and new insight into one of our newest tools coming out at Manifest as well, about how to approach your warm list, how to approach, you know, your contact list. Because what's the first thing that you tell people when they get started? You said, build a list. Make it 100, 200, 500. Sometimes we say just start with 20 of your closest friends, people you really want to be in business with. Whatever that is, we're always asking people to make a list. And then we tend to give them what? This is part of the introduction of the book. We tend to give them, you know, build your list. And these people build their list, and then they go out and you give them a script. You give them some kind of script to use when they're out there, and they go and use the script. And the problem is this, that the script they're using for every single person that they get in contact with. So they go out and they contact these people, and they give them scripts, and they tell them what to say, and call from that script. It's the same language over and over again. And problem is that using the same script on your friends and relatives is not the best. So some of the scripts people use, something like, hey, Tina, this is just a quick call. I started a new business. I'm really excited about it. I believe there could be some benefits in it for you. How soon can I come around? Right? And that's kind of some of the language you might use. But the problem is that it ignores how we generally communicate with that person. We're giving them scripting, and they're feeling awkward, and it's not comfortable, and it's outside the box. And the problem is that people aren't going to respond to you because they feel like there's almost a disingenuity going on in that conversation, because they know that's not their relationship with you. And so what you want to do is you want to look back and say, how do we normally communicate with that person? Because otherwise, when we communicate differently with them around our new business proposition, what happens? People get suspicious. They're resistant. They ridicule you. So what happens is you burn through all your warm marketing. Then they toss you into a cold marketing setup where you're out there talking to people you don't know. And if you're not very good with people you do know, guess what happens with the people you don't know very well, right? You have less confidence, and now you're really down the tubes. And in 60 days, people are calling you, and guess what? They're getting no answer. So reading this book really gives you a bunch of how-tos and how to get appointments with people you already know. That's what it is about. It's how, when it comes to prospecting scripts, one size does not fit all. How to prospect everyone on your contact list using an approach that's based on your pre-existing relationship. and how to overcome the mental brick wall that many distributors hit when deciding who to contact first. All of these things are the reason why you want to read this book. And I put in a quote from there. It says, the key to significantly improving the chances of getting our information in front of the prospect is an understanding the language and script we use should be relative to the existing relationship we have with that prospect. That's basically the premise of the book. It'll help everyone, every person, make sense of their warm list, their levels of formality with the different groups of people that are on their warm list, and how to vary your approach to them based on the five levels of formality. So it teaches you from A to Z how to approach those five different levels. So, and he qualifies in his book throughout, he always says, you know, it's he who shows the most business presentation who wins. And I just want to highlight that. I put it in bold in the outline because I believe it's true. I believe the number one problem with probably every single person on this call, as well as most in North Manitowoc, North America today, is we're just not making enough business presentations. We're not talking to enough people. We're not getting in front of enough people with our presentation. So it's a no-brainer. That's kind of what people think of when they get in there. They, you know, they get started. That's kind of an attitude of brand new people. Friend comes over, shows you a video, talks up the comp plan, no-brainer. You sign up, first task, build a list to everyone you know. So you get brand new as a brand new person. You go, okay, buddy, I'll sign up, and I've started my new business. You go to a half day of training, no validation. Then you're given language, a scripting. You start going out there and saying that. And the problem is that when you say that to somebody, like, when you say it to a friend, and then all of a sudden they look at you and there's dead silence. And the friend will go something like, tell me what it is and I'll tell you right now if I'm interested. Or you just get immediate pushback, right? And it's you know, someone, and these things have happened to me too. I don't remember as well, and I don't remember all of them, but some of the language he says that the pushback you get is, they've certainly trained you in your telephone pitch, something like that you hear about. And then you immediately get people talking about it being a pyramid scheme, or I've heard about this company and blah, blah, blah. You know. And the problem is you're just not prepared for any of the rejection you get in your first training. And especially coming from, who are the people that impact you the most? It's the same people that are on your warm market list. Those are your friends and relatives. So if they give you pushback, wow, that just burns a hole in your heart, and all of a sudden you lose confidence in yourself, or you lose confidence in the business, or you start believing the stuff that's thrown at you. So then what happens, you get rid of your old warm list, and you say, well, maybe I should try cold marketing, and you start going to business conventions, and you start going to, you know, other things, street surveys. You might be standing at a street corner doing surveys, business expos. Yeah, you show up at different art fairs. It's all cold market stuff. And you realize that, you know, a lot of the things you're doing aren't duplicatable. And I remember going into that when I was relatively young in network marketing. People were buying booths at different fairs. They were told to do this. In fact, Manitowoc even promoted this one. Like when youth came out, people were going to all these beauty, you know, bridal fairs and all. The booths were like $500 to $1,000. Now, that's totally non-duplicatable. So the idea is you want to stay away from things that are not duplicatable, because when you go out there and you're starting new people in this business, they don't have $1,000 every 3 months to put into a bridal fair. So you want to stay and keep things that are simple that everybody can do, which is the warm list, right? What can I do with my, and being more effective on that warm list. And the reality is, if you think about it this way, as I was reading the book, this came to my head. You know, if everybody just took their warm list, let's say you have 250 to 500 names, and some people come up with 1,000, so I'm just being, you know, conservative. If every single person has 250 to 300 names, and every single person you signed up found 5 people on their 250 list, I mean, you're basically building multiple pods over and over and over and over again, right? And the incredible thing is, but that's all you need. You don't need anyone to become, you know, the rainmaker of the year. If every person, if you could just get every person to get 5 to 10 people involved, you'd have a monstrous organization. So it's not about finding somebody who's going to sign up 400 people. It's about, how do I allow people to be as most effective as they can be purely off their 100, 200, 300 name warm list? that in and of itself will create a phenomenal business for you. And that just underlines the importance of this book, of understanding the significant, you know, nature of improving the odds and improving your statistics with how many people you get started on that initial list before you're forced into going out and doing cold marketing. Now, does that, I want a heads up there, but it doesn't mean we don't cold market. I love cold marketing, but I'm telling you, one of my most favorite things, if I look back at my career in network marketing, I probably have more signups on a referral basis and on a three-way calling basis, unquestionably. Probably 5-to-1, the signups in my downline have come from warm marketing and three-way calls and referral, three-way calls and referral. Everything, that's what I look at. Even from day one, my big leaders that I have came from referrals from somebody else. I went down and met them. I did a home party for them in their house. But it wasn't cold marketing, if that makes sense. So the idea is honor and respect that first initial list that people make, because that's truly where you can build a phenomenal business. So let's jump into the five levels of formality. Everything I just talked about basically laying the foundation for where this book goes, as well as what's found in the book. There's five levels of formality on your warm list. That's what we're talking about. So when you make that list of 250 names, not everyone's equal, and all of you recognize that. If you made a list today, not everybody on that list is equal, right? So you want to start looking at that list and start taking it level by level. Treat them differently because they are differently. The first level he talks about is something called the coffee script. And that's a level, what he does is he likes to draw a circle on a page. You all can do this and put your name, you can put your name or just the word you in the middle of that small circle in the middle of the page. And then you put your first circle around it. That's your level one people, okay? And then you just build outwardly concentric circles that go out. So you have five circles that go outside of you being in the center, because you're the center of your business. And the first level, level one, is a group of people that are what? They're a group of people that are closest to you. So they would be like your relatives, your closest friends, your next door neighbors, those you socialize with. So maybe some people at your church that you're really close, your small group people. You know, my Sunday school class would be an example, right? Those would be people that I socialize with, I know, the people I go on mission trips with who I know really well that have become pals of mine and others. You know, so the people that you're closest with, that'd be your level one. And you mark them as level one. So you're going to be taking your list and you're going to be separating it out and marking it as level one. And those are people that you want to communicate with them the way you normally communicate with them. If somebody gave you a script to use in network marketing and told you to use this with the people on your list and you started using it with everybody, awkward. They would say, is this a canned speech? They wouldn't even recognize who you are. They would feel like you're making a plug or a push for them instead of just being who you are. And, you know, some of the ways you can just say, hey, are you home? Great. Get the coffee on. Of course, I couldn't say that because I don't drink coffee, but I would say, are you home? Great. Listen, I'm on my way over. Can we spend, just give me a half hour. I've got to show you something new. That would be typical for Mary Jo because I get excited about new things. Most people know I'm kind of, you know, I've got that promoter side to me, but I'd love to introduce people to new things. And people know me as a person that loves entrepreneurism. So they would get excited about hearing something new from Mary Jo. So that would be language that would work for me. But you want to have language that works for your group. But it's a coffee script. It's about, hey, that's how close we are. That's how tight we are. It recognizes the tightness of your relationship. So it's not a canned script that's going to make them just like, go like, okay, who is this person I thought I knew? That's not the reaction you want to get, right? And sometimes you need to develop a rescue script. For some of you on this call, you might go, man, that just happened to me, Rachel. I have that feeling about some of the people I contacted, maybe even in the past, maybe some of you 5 years ago. And you need to go back and re-talk to some of those people. Think about doing that. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. So some of the people that you've already screwed up, if you look back, you can kind of say, hey, you know, I've started something part-time. to make it work, I've really got to show everyone I know how to get the word out there. And naturally, being my brother and my sister and my friend, you're on my list. So it really doesn't matter to me whether you join or not. So you take the finality of it out. I'm not coming after you to make you join something that's not for you. I just need to make sure that I've shared it with you so that you understand what I'm doing and perhaps you can help me as well in other ways. Can I stop by for 20 minutes? That's what you might do. So you're not just asking people and they don't feel like they're being asked to join you, people that you've already, you know, kind of pushed on before. But there's a way that when you say, maybe you can help me, people typically like to help other people. So, and when you get a chance to be in front of them and present it in a normal way on a one-on-one basis where you're not giving, you know, somebody else's language, they might see a new you. 6 months ago, didn't work. Now, could very much work, right? Because you're coming across differently, because you're coming across being relational in the way you normally communicate with that person. So so then you just, you know, you just go and work with people on that level one. And if people say no to you, if you get some no's, you're really ready for it because you know what? Some will, some won't. So what next? We know that. I love that. Came from one of my favorite books, John Kalinch's book that I read probably 6 months into my network marketing career. That was the first book I read cover to cover on an airplane ride to Canada. And I got off to tell you how much I love that book, I got off the airplane and ordered a whole case of them. Yeah. So it's How to Be the Best You Could Be in Network and MLM. That's the name of the book. And but anyway, it's a great book. But you just want people, if they do say no to you, put them on your not right now list or no for now list, I think is how they find it in the book, no for now list. And his great suggestion about the no for now list that you have off of your warm list or even perhaps more the no list, because if they don't know you, if you call them back, they may not remember you. But if no for now list. When you're about to sign up a hot new distributor, let's say you find somebody, I just had somebody last week, and then that's a time to call some of those no for now list people and say, hey, John, you know I presented this to you before. You know, it was really probably a tough time for you in terms of making that decision. But I recall how you like the idea of how this business works, that you get paid for others' hard work. Well, I'm about to register whatever that person might be, you know, might be a business owner or, you know, somebody at my church who is just going to be absolutely fantastic. If you sign up as a distributor with me in the next 24 hours, I will definitely place her on your team. Does that change anything for you? So listen to that language. It's very different. It's a way to bring people back in off that no for now list, but that's just a hint. On once you start connecting with your people and you get that no for now list, and remember that's our rule is you never take anyone off your list unless they die or they sign up. That's my rule. But this is a great language to use to capture their interest, because if they were intrigued by the methodology of making money off of other people's work, that's when you sign up a new distributor, you might be able to sign up two people or three people. I had one person that told a story one time that she went out and she got five new people started and tiered them one under another, okay, in one leg with one brand new person coming in. Because you really can use that same person with as many people to get them signed up as you can think of, because people aren't going to worry about four or five other people that you're getting underneath them as well, right? You're just multiplying it. So you can use it for many people. So that's level one. So we talk in a way that we know it's called the coffee. He refers to it as the coffee talk. Are you at home? Great. Get the coffee on. I'm on my way over. I've got something to show you. Something that simple. And of course, if people ask, well, what is it? You know, my favorite response to that, and it actually was trained in this book as well. So I smiled at that because I've been teaching and trained it, is to tell people, you know what? It's really visual. Just give me, you know, 10, 15 minutes of your time. I'd love to show it to you. That's it. You just, again, go back to the fact how visual it is. That's level one. So what is level two? If that's level one, are the people that are closest to me, my best buds, my family members, relatives, right? Level two, and it's not that some of your relatives can't be in a higher level, because you might have relatives you really don't have a great relationship with. In other words, it's not that there's a dislike there, it's just that there's been a disconnect over time. So the relatives could fall into that category as well. So favor and feedback is the second level. And it's people you know pretty well, but you're not close enough to say that you communicate with them on a daily or weekly basis. Okay? That's what you'd be looking at. And the language could work something like this. I've just started a new business. I'm really excited about it. How soon can I pop around? Now, he used that language, pop around. I'm just giving you that. I think this guy's from Great Britain, so that might be language they use in Great Britain. I don't use the language pop around because it sounds like popcorn to me. So I would say, can I stop by or stop in, or, can we get together? How soon can we get together so I can show you what I'm doing? There'll be some real benefits for you or something like that. But it's the language is, I'm calling to ask a favor. You're going to be, remember, these people are the favor and feedback. You want to get feedback from somebody. You want them to give you feedback on it. You want to ask them for a favor. I'm calling to ask a favor. I know you've got your own business, and from what John tells me, you're doing great. This could be a friend of your brother's or your dad's or something. I just started something part-time myself, and I need to get the word out and show as many people as I can what I'm doing. Would it be okay if I pop in, there's that word pop again, for around 20 minutes in the next day or two? So again, I'm looking for your feedback. I'd like to ask you for a favor. This is favor and feedback, people. So you might have on your list of 100, 200, you might have 30 people on that list that are more favor or feedback people. They're a little more distant to you. You can't be friendly, but you'd really like to get their insight. All right. And just like, there's another alternative I've given to you right out of the book. I've recently started something part-time alongside my day job, and I'd value your opinion on it. Would it be okay if I popped, there's that word again, in to see you in the next couple of days to run it past you again? So that's I love that concept, because most people are willing to do you a favor or give you feedback on something, and it gives you the opportunity to share it. Number two, even if they're not interested, what has it given you? More experience, you're going to be better at what you're doing. But number three, you're getting in front of people that you may never have a chance to get in front of unless you do it this way. You feel so awkward using other language with them that they may not ever listen to you. They may never, ever. By saying favor and feedback, they're not feeling like they're being approached or sold something. So it's a little bit of back door to get in front of them, but it gives you an opportunity to do something that you may not have had without using that directional. So favor or feedback, all that language is terrific. So now we go on to our next level. We've done level one and level two. Level three is the development level. It contains people in your life that you encounter on a regular basis, but they're not close enough to you relationship-wise to be included in those first two levels. So in other words, who would these be? Those people, let's say you do a lot of your grocery shopping. I do a lot of grocery shopping. I got a Whole Foods around here, and I know a couple of the people that are checkout clerks there. That would be because they recognize me. They see me there often. Other things, if you're a shopper, like you do clothes shopping at a certain place, or hairdresser, or if you have kids and you know the other parents at school because you go to sporting events together, or people you regularly see and acknowledge at daily activities, or it could be neighbors that you smile at, like my next door neighbors. I have a half dozen of them that I probably know pretty well, but not real well, but I know them, I see them from time to time. Those are the kind of people that fit in this category. So you know of them, you know them, you communicate with them, on a regular basis, like regular meaning once every week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that, but they're not close, right? They're not friends and relatives. So this would be more of an indirect approach, and that's how he tells you to do it. Don't use a script, but go indirect. These are people that need an indirect approach. And Demra does a great training on this too, when she talks to the gals that does, like, I think it's soccer, soccer moms or something. And she'll just listen. She'll ask questions. Our job in this instance is to just ask questions. We're at a soccer meet. How are you? What's going on? How's your business doing? And this is where you need to develop some subtle, skills in terms of listening skills and questioning. The answer is in the question, right? So we become great questioners, and you learn about other people. You want to be interested in them, listen to their hot buttons, and then offer up solutions. And you can use, there's some terminology, says, you know how most people, so that's one of that terminologies that people use, you know, in terms of you know, bringing your story up. So, but you're tying it into something they said. You're getting a connective. You're looking for the point of connection in your communication with them. And when you find it, that gives you an opportunity. And you don't jump on it immediately. Sometimes you might call them back the next day. You just make a mental mind note of that because you don't want to look aggressive. You just want to, like sometimes people talk to me at church about some kind of sickness they have or something that's going on for them. You know, and I'll just listen, and I say, wow, I hear that. What is the doctor doing? You know, and I say, listen, I'll lift you up and keep you in my prayers. And I'll back away, and maybe a day or two later, I'll call him back, and I say, you know, the other day when we were talking, and this is what you shared with me, I couldn't help but, you know, recognize that I might have a solution for you that might make a difference in your life. And that's when I bring it up. So it doesn't sound like I'm jumping on somebody the minute they say something out of their mouth. I have the kind of ability to get back with that person over a short period of time where they're not going to feel like I'm trying to sell them something. I'm trying to sell. So you hear some people talking about, let's say, for instance, here's a good one, like somebody at Soccer Moms talking about, you know, that they are having a hard time this year. They're not going to be able to take a family vacation because the finances just aren't there to do it and all that kind of stuff. And then you get back to them a couple. You see them next time. You go, you know what? With the current financial climate, is you know most people are having a hard time missing out on taking their families on holiday. Well, one of the things I do is show people in just a couple of hours per week how they can build a second income stream that will give them more disposable income to spend time with their loved ones in a special way. Would you be interested in taking a look? You know, that's something that simple. So it's language like that that you're just going. With the current financial climate, you know, most people, this is what you're doing. You know, most people are having a hard time, or you know, most people are having a hard time trying to put the financial, you know, together, the financial needs or the monetary needs to be able to take their families on holidays these days. Well, I show people how in just a couple hours per week, they can build a second income stream that will give them more disposable income. Notice, language like that, terrific. And that's the indirect, right? It's kind of like you don't mention immediately. You pick up on what they're saying. You pick up an information. And how do we pick up an information from people? We ask questions. And that's where form comes in, family, occupation, recreation, motivation, or money, or mission. Whatever that is, we find and collect information. But you want to maintain your posture. You know, he says control means you take conversation in the direction of your choosing. So you're in control of that conversation. And posture means that you stay on path. Regardless of what they ask, you're going to stay on path. You can always get curl it back to the path you're on, right? And if they, you know, if you hear somebody push back at you, then you can say, hey, fine, you know what? I've talked to lots of people, and this isn't for everybody, so no problem. And you take it away. And sometimes when you take it away, it's the fear of loss that people respond to, because there are a lot of people that fear of loss is one of their greatest fears. So that's, they are going to start chasing you instead, or they might call you the next day. But again, this level three is all about building rapport with somebody and coming from solution for them. And, you know, meeting up people at parties, he gave us some language in that. I put that in the outline as well. I'm glad I bumped into you, Simon. Now isn't the right time to talk, but you clearly understand business. Would you have some time in the near future where I can pop over? That word again, pop, and see you and show you what I'm doing. I really value your opinion. That's another one that can be, you know, that one almost goes back a little bit to what we talked about level two. So when you get to certain places, people, you know, just keep in mind that sounds more to me, even though it's found in this area, like a level two where you're, again, looking for feedback or favors from people. But you can use that as well at level three because it's indirect. So your job in level three context is simply to get to know people more and over time gradually move them from the cold side of the scale across to the warm side, right? And that's what we're doing here. And three requires enhancement of your people skills coming out of natural conversations. All right, so that's level three. Move on. Let's draw that fourth circle. And remember, this is all classifying what's on your list that you made, your initial list, 100, 200, 500 new contacts, putting them level by level and using different ways of approaching them is crucial for your success. Level four is the opportunistic level. And these are people you don't have much control over. So there might be somebody at a restaurant, a delivery person, a cashier, a bartender, a waitress. I mean, all these different people that you come across on your daily basis. You have them on your warm list because you met somebody at somebody and you remember them, but you don't really have, you know, it's not somebody you see often. It's not somebody you see every week or two. It might be somebody you see once a month, right? And I have some of these people in my life too. Because when you make that warm list, you're not just thinking about people that you're lovey-dovey with and are friends and family. They're people that you've come across. They want everything on that list. That's why some people can put a list of 2,000 together because they're looking at everybody, their whole Christmas list will generate a lot of these level fours as well. So the idea is that you're treating these people a little differently because there's not a lot of familiarity there. And what you want to do is it's more of a kind of like what we talk about even on cold marketing a little bit. That's what it sounded to me as well. Like when I go into a restaurant and a waitress comes up and I may have met her before, but you know, that's how she got on my warm list. Right. But I do this even with cold marketing. I always start with a compliment, right? It always starts with a compliment. You start with saying something nice about the person. You want to kind of talk about them in a nice way. And so it's like, hey, and then you don't want to just do that and jump into, you know, the script. You want to compliment them about what they're doing. And then you can talk to them a little bit about, you know, their skill set, and you build some extra rapport by asking about their job, how they like their job, how long you've been working here, you know, so you talk about what a great job they're doing and you love their smile or you love their, you know, their interest that you're taking interest in us. And I'm just sitting here at your restaurant. That's awesome. How long you've been working at your job? So you notice it's a normal conversation that you can go into the next question about that. And then finally you can use a script, but the third step would be, and you can use things like, hey, I'm a recruiter for my company. We're looking for great people like you. Tell me if I could show you a way of earning more money part-time without affecting your current job. Would you be interested in finding out more? And part of that language, Ray Higdon has some great language about that too. He'll use something like that. Hey, listen, if I could show you a way to make some extra income that would impact what you're doing right now, would you have some interest? And that's it. And if they say yes, you go, great. Let's get together. When's a good time for you? And usually, at that point, I set up a time. They're working. Most of these people are working. They're on the job. You've seen them before. I did this with my the gal at the post office, right? So, and you get to know the people, and you take it out of the job atmosphere because it's insulting when you start doing a spiel when they're at work. That's insulting. It's inappropriate. And you wouldn't want it if you ran that business for your employees to be approached that way. So take it out of there and do something different with them. It's you know, take them to a different place. Now, the intriguing part of this, he brought up in the book, which I thought it was really cute, he had this category called the helium, introducing the helium balloons. Because when you do this kind of more, you know, they might be in your warm market because you put them on your list and you know them, you know of them, like you're supposed to, anyone you know of, like if you're a postman, okay, he would qualify for somebody like this. Though you don't have a lot of time to talk to them, but if you go to the post office, you have a little bit more time, right, to talk to the people there. But they're people, restaurant people that you met at restaurants that you frequent, those kind of things. The interesting thing, though, these are not people that you have much connection with. So what do you think the statistics are in terms of getting them signed up and in your business? Typically less. And some people get frustrated because they'll start working on these people on their warm list and they just are getting no's all the time and they get really frustrated. And the idea is never get frustrated because there are always going to be people out there that aren't interested. And he talks about the helium balloons. This is what he talks about. He talks about helium balloons. He talks about, we are looking to build a business by finding people who are interested, right? Everybody agree with that? And the bottom line is, there are going to be a bunch of people that aren't. some will, some won't, so what next? That's where that comes from. The reality is that everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody has that in them. I wish and pray they did. I mean, I have two stepdaughters, and I have a niece and a nephew, all of whom I had major impact on raising them and college and everything else. But two of them went in a direction, or their spouses, went in a direction of total entrepreneurship, and I was ecstatic to be able to step in their lives and finance them into that. My other two, no matter what I'm doing, I've offered to, you know, buy a restaurant for them. One's in the restaurant industry. I've offered to do all sorts of, I can't shake them loose of the J-O-B. So I just think it's either going to take another 5 to 10 years, or maybe they're just built to be in a J-O-B. Some people just want that, what they perceive as security. And they don't, they fear their own ability to, you know, and now that they've gotten homes, guess what? The fear is even greater. Why? Because now they have all these financial responsibilities, and it's scarier, right? It gets scarier. And the older you get, it even gets scarier. And I kind of laugh at that because I looked at myself, but I basically was entrepreneurial almost from the get-go. I mean, I left the law firm at, I think I was 29, 30 after I was vice president general counsel of a multi-billion-dollar company. I left and started my own business, or bought a business in San Antonio. I not only moved out of, moved out of practicing law, I moved states. And I had no problem, no reservations on doing that. It was like simple for me as could be. It was almost like an escape from what I felt wasn't where I wanted to be, right? But a lot of people, I was single, I didn't have a family, I didn't have responsibilities. I did own a home, but I was moving anyway, so I was selling it. So it's just different positions that we're in. But a lot of people get stuck, and they feel stuck. And you have an opportunity for them to become unstuck, right? But they still may not see it. And the reality is that when he talks about these helium balloons, he says, we only wish those who are not going to be interested carried big red helium balloons around, and those who are going to be interested carried green ones. So we would get the stop and go light by everybody before we had to spend time and energy around them. If I had all of you in a training room right now and said, raise your hand if you agree with this, every one of you would raise your hand, right? Because you look at all the hours you have spent and continue to spend talking to people that really don't have any interest whatsoever. And you just think, Mary Jo, my gosh, I just wasted half an hour, blah, blah, blah. And you, the worst thing you can do with that experience is allow it to rob from you. And that's the thing that this whole point is about. When people say no, never, ever allow it to rob from you. This is an incredible opportunity. It gives people a phenomenal ability to have a lifestyle of their dreams if they choose it. But some will see it and some won't. That doesn't make it right or wrong. It's right for literally thousands of people. You have hundreds of thousands, millions of people worldwide. What was the last statistic? I can't remember. 200 million people, or I don't know, some outrageous number of people that are doing network marketing worldwide today, right? It's amazing how many people are doing it in this world. And so the business model is incredible, but it's not for everyone. Just like becoming an accountant. Look at it that way. How many people are going to become accountants? Not everyone's built that way to do that. So network marketing fits that same category. So just look at it from a perspective of, you know, oh man, I just hit another red helium balloon or something. You know what I mean? Dismiss it. Next, that's the whole concept of some will, some won't, so what next? So recognizing the people at level four are really pretty much strangers. You know them. They ended up on your warm list, but they're still not people that you would call really close or even close to. They're kind of more strangers. They just, you know their name. You've met them before a couple times. You've seen them. So don't overwhelm yourself on expectations with level four. And then we get to level five, which he calls your chicken list. And we all know about the chicken list, because if you haven't been trained on this, then your upline didn't do a good job. When you put names on your list that are people that are like, you know, vice presidents of companies, or these guys are lawyers, or they're doctors, or they're whatever, and you're intimidated by them. That's really the whole factor on chicken list. There are people that you feel a little intimidation factor going on. That's where they are. So how do you pluck up the courage to talk to somebody on your chicken list? And his response to that is, you don't. You don't. That's where you tap into a leader in your upline. And you may have to go multi-levels up to find that person. So what a blast that is. I know I have fun with it because I'm the person that does a lot of these calls for people in my organization because, of course, being a lawyer, being a certified nutrition coach, all the credentials that I hold, I come to the table with a quote-unquote status that people tend to, you know, they feel more confident that they're getting right answers or they have somebody that's professional they're dealing with. It doesn't need to be that. And are they getting better answers than you have? Probably not. But the idea is that somewhere there's the credentials there. But there clearly is one thing that's very different, and that's posture and probably a depth of knowledge and experience that most people in my organization don't have. So that's what you bring to the table. That's why when you're starting a brand new person, make sure they understand three-way calling, critical, because that's where all of that gets brought on the table. And some of these people on the chicken list can be your absolute best associates. If they make the decision to get started, they can be, because they're already proven, they're probably already wealthy, they already have been, you know, been very accomplished in the business world. And some of these people really are looking for something different. They might have heard of network marketing and they never took a serious look at it. We have some people in Manatech that have incredible credentials that, you know, walked away from those careers. And that's why I know it's doable. I'm sitting here on this call with you this morning telling you I was one of those people. I mean, I still practice law from time to time, but I do only pro bono work. But I have all the aptitude to do that and go out. If I chose to, I could renew my license and do all the things I need to do, go to start going to continuing legal education and hang out a shingle and make 10 times what I make in Manatech, right? But I don't choose to do that because I don't want that burden. I don't want that structure in my life. I love the network marketing industry because it gives me the freedom I love to have today. So there are people out there looking for that freedom. Trust me, having freedom is really one of the biggest things we sell to people, is having that freedom. So this is the way you do it. Chicken list is not about you calling them. And so many times we tell people and we try to give them scripts to use on their chicken list. Oh, man, you got to call your chicken list. This is the first time I really have read a book that trained, don't ever call your chicken list. Get your upline leaders to join you. It's not about you talking to them. It's about getting somebody upline from you, a leader in your upline to do that. So, and then he just gave a script. I just wrote it out for you. And I put MJH and all those things so you can see I'm talking to a guy named Colin who's a big businessman, and it just gives you some scripting that might help you in terms of how you would get started on it. And it's just about getting them to take a look at a new business opportunity. And you come to the table as somebody that's a specialist and a professional, and that's how it works. So, but you do introduce that you're a friend. Hey, we have a mutual friend, and John, he used to work for you, right? And that's what you talk about. You talk about starting new business together, and a very ambitious, motivated type of what would that, you know, ask them. You honor them. You stroke their ego a little bit because most people on this list, chicken list, have greater egos. They have a lot of self, you know, they don't have any self-image problems, right? So that's what you want to do. And then you lock in and get their opinion on the business opportunity that they have, and maybe you're going to catch a few of those people to join you in it. So the bottom line lesson, before encouraging unskilled new distributors to approach their family and friends, set aside a time to stop and think, and then teach them that the way to approach their contacts should be congruent with how they usually interact with them, so as not to invite suspicion, resistance, or ridicule. By taking this approach and breaking it down in the five levels of formality for all those new distributors you have after they get through with that, building their list, this will help them be more effective out of the box and thus create longer longevity in the business. Because we know that we know when we get a brand new person started, in the first 3 months, if they're not having success, they tend to want to run the opposite direction because they just don't have the stick-to-itiveness. We even sometimes lose people on the first three phone calls. If they get three no's, we lose them. because they have the wrong expectations. They think, why isn't everybody getting joining me in this? And we know that's just not going to happen. I always look for, I kind of call it the 20% rule. If I get 2 out of 10, I'm ecstatic. And sometimes I get 4 out of 10. Sometimes I get 6. But you know what? 2 out of 10 is great. Because we just know there are personality quadrants out there. There are types of people, and people have different hang-ups and different things. And our job isn't to play the psychologist. Our job is to go out there and find people who, when they see this opportunity to totally change their lives and allow them to live the life of their dreams, they jump on it. Those are the people I want to get involved with. So hopefully this helped you guys. It's just a whole other approach. It sure gave me and tweaked my way of doing business. I will never start a new person off with just getting your contact list and start connecting with them. I'm going to work with them on breaking it down into 5 different categories and allow them to either read my outline, listen to this call, so they're familiar with the 5 levels of formality, or they can actually read the book, which is a very quick read. So, all right, everybody, any questions about this? Any questions, comments, feel? I know Michael's on. Michael, do you think I covered the book pretty well, or do you have anything to say yourself?
I love it. You know, you made me think about Jim Rohn did a really nice piece about ratios and said, you know, talk to enough people, a ratio will appear. And if you look at it like that, you know, I mean, you know, 2 out of 10 will have the majors looking at you. 3 out of 10 will get the major league baseball guys paying you millions of dollars. You know what I mean? So you got to get your mind straight about what you're doing and just know that it's a process, you know. So I think that helps. Yeah. It was a good call. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Yeah. I think it's great. It's good to have those. And he's right, because that's what tells you. And some people look at ratios like that and they go, oh, man, it's a numbers game. And I go, well, everything in life is a numbers game. I don't care what you're doing, right? I mean, and the reality is that you want to honor people. I don't look at numbers game as a negative thing. I look at it as that's how I honor others. I honor other people because this isn't for everybody. So it's honoring for me to suggest maybe 2 out of 10. That's an honor because people are made differently. They have different ups, downs. Some people don't ever. I know people in my own, you know, friend base that are stuck. They love to stay at home. They don't want to do anything else. They love being a stay-at-home and they don't want to work. And they just thrive in, you know, making quilts or something. And that's all they want to do is make quilts. And I go, great. Right.
Well, it gets back to personality quadrants. There's some that are just not going to go there. You mentioned it in your own family. You got 50%, and they're as close as they get, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, 50-50. I got 2 entrepreneurs, and I got 2 that J-O-B is just absolutely the security of that, whatever is there, which isn't a lot, but it's what it is. Absolutely. Yep. And my dad was that way. My husband is that way. Talk about somebody stuck. I mean, he still wants me to go out and get a, you know, I mean, he quit saying that, of course, after about the second year when I doubled the amount of money he was making at his JOB, then he quit giving me a hard time. But he still looks at me like you don't have a job.
and the point is, we look at people that have jobs in a somewhat similar way. It's like, why don't you get this? I remember, I joined another network marketing company in 85, and I was like, how do they get people to work at the home office? I don't get it. Why aren't they all out building businesses? There's so much more
fun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree.
We got our own filters. So.
Yeah, we all do. No question about it. Okay, everybody. You guys have a great week, and don't forget, Manatech shuts down Thursday night, so you got 3 days of kind of a blackout period, and I just don't want people to get frustrated with that because it is happening. They're doing a great job of announcing it. I just want to make sure everybody recognizes it. But that doesn't mean you stop doing your business. Okay. All right, everybody. Yeah.
Hey, Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Martha. If we come across someone who has a personality quadrant that doesn't really seem to fit, you know, doing this, is that just the kind of thing they can overcome if they want it bad enough? They just have to push past those inherent qualities, and if they want, you know, to help people enough and the income that they can still learn and get past.
Well, I think that, Martha, your better question would be this. Because I don't think personality quadrants stop people from doing network marketing. I think it's us who fail to recognize the personality quadrant the person's in, and we, by failing to recognize it and then changing our communication, that's what needs to happen. So take, for instance, if I come across somebody who's a promoter, I'm going to talk about, oh my gosh, Manifest is coming up in 30 days. You got to go. Let's pull out $100. You're going. I don't care what you say, because it's a big party and we're just going to have a blast. You're going to meet thousands of people from all over the world. Bingo. I don't even have to talk. I don't even have to tell them the name's Manatech, and they're going to show up. You follow? So I got that quadrant. Now if I get the analyst guy, I'm going to work with the analyst, and I'm going to work with him, and I recognize that this might take me 3 months to close him, but I'm really willing to be patient and give him all, dot all the I's, cross all the T's. I just had one on a three-way call the other day, and I wrote down, expect to close by June. Okay, it's March. Okay, but what I did, see, I already get it. So I sent him some science information. I said, why don't we start at step one, where this first came from? And I started sending him information so he could watch, look at that. And I said, when you get done with that, give me a buzz and with your questions, and then I'll take you to the next step. And he, I mean, it was like perfect. I working with him brilliantly. But you know, and then you find a supporter in that quadrant, and you just grab them, and I just overwhelm them with M5M. I mean, it's just about the team, and it's about we're together, and we love doing this together, and I love three-way calls. I can help you, all that stuff, and look at all the time you're going to have now to spend with your kids. I mean, and all the church activities you love. I mean, man, this is perfect for you. It's just, I mean, and then the controller is probably my hardest quadrant. But when you understand personality quadrants, you learn how to meet them where they are. I don't think that's ever stopped somebody from getting involved in network marketing. It's us. Does that make sense, Martha?
Yes. And what's a good source to learn about different quadrants?
Oh, you're going to have an excellent one once Manifest
arrives.
You're going
to love Joellen's, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have so much great stuff coming out at Manifest for all of this. You know, it's. I don't even want to begin. I can't share what we've been working on for 2 months, and we're working on for two more to make it the best for all of you guys. But you're going to have a tool that'll blow your mind. Yeah.
Hey, Mary Jo, also mentioned
I've done a number of calls. Double check on my Manatrain website, because I'm sure I covered personality quadrants at some time. If not, maybe that'd be a super call to have, because I love personality. I love working with personality quadrants. Or send me an email. You have my email address, hilliker@att.net. Just send me an email, and I'll drop some information out to you, Martha. Okay? Good?
Hey, Mary Jo, you mentioned a piece while you were describing the book about this, too, which was the no for now list, right? Because
yeah. You
could be the greatest entrepreneur in the world, and you're already got six businesses running, and it's just not a good time, right? So there's that.
Yeah, point. Absolutely. Yeah. Timing is everything, too. A lot of times people just don't see it. But,
right.
But you know, it's just knowing how to deal with those personality quadrants. I think, Martha, that's where your big issue is just, hey, I've got to learn better, because – you know, it really is about listening. You know, I can look at people, and probably in the first minute I'm talking to them, I know basically what their major quadrant is. But it's because I'm really cognizant of it, and I'm looking for it, because I know that'll make all the difference in the world on how I communicate with them, right, and how I interact with them. So I know how to – you can't just – stand still and do the same. It's the same concept that I trained on today, which is, Martha, probably why you brought it up, because you're saying I can't be exactly the same with every single person. Well, you can, but you're reducing your amount of effectiveness by doing the exact same thing with every single person. Yeah.
Mary Jo, Robert Rohn's website would maybe help her, that she could get on a mailing list or whatever that he sends out, like information and stuff like that.
Great. Well,
that would maybe help her.
The other thing to do is just Google personality quadrants. And you could even Google how to work with different personality quadrants. There's so much information out there today on this topic that I'm sure you could find a whole lot of it out there. It's not, I mean, I surely don't have the market share of it myself. There's so much. So try that too, Martha. That's another great suggestion. And they'll actually, but, you know, there have been a lot of good trainings out there on what do you say to a person in each one of the four quadrants. If they ask questions, how do you respond? There's a lot of that information available, but I'd be more than happy to send it as well. Yeah, great.
Great call, Mary Jo. Thanks. I got to jump off.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Great. All right. So let's go out there and let's, you know, just it's about growing. And growing is, you know, when you learn different personality quadrants, the other greatness about it is that it really helps you be really effective in everything you do in life. So it's not just like I do a lot of counseling and coaching with people as well. I just pick up people who, you know, who got, the Lord lays on my heart that you need to work with this woman. I just had one from a recent seminar I went to with Gary Cox, and I've been coaching her on the phone with her twice a week now, and she, it's amazing. I mean, if I didn't have the insights into being able to read her, I would not be able to support her in her transformation that she's going through, and it's amazing. Just in a couple of weeks, how far this woman's coming. All I can tell you is it brings tears to my eyes to think about the little bit of time it took, but the major impact it's having already. And it's, why is that? Because I know where she's coming from. I know, I can see what's holding her back. I can see, you know, I know what quadrant she's in, and it really enables me to be the best I can be to help her move forward in her life. So, okay, everybody. Great.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
You bet. I love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next Monday. Bye, everyone.
Bye.